This is another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and you can find out more at my website, allbook-books.com. Or I could say site, because I'm going to feature the work of Stephen T. Newcomb. One of the things he does is he makes me think about things. And so, for example, the World Wide Web, with all their surveillance and tracking and stuff going on, I mean, it's not a lot of people know this, but how often do we think about it? The web, you can get trapped in the web. How about if I say you can find it at my site? But then it gets confusing. How do you spell that? But anyway, these are the kind of verbal leaps and deep insights that Steve has in his work. And I've been following his writings and interviews and presentations for, I lose track of time, it seems like about 10 years or so. And I'll read some of Stephen Newcomb's bio. He is a Shawnee Lenape scholar and author. He has been studying and writing about U.S. federal Indian law and policy since the early 1980s, particularly the application of international law to indigenous nations and peoples. Mr. Newcomb is the director of the Indigenous Law Institute, which he co-founded with Burgell Kilstraight, a traditional headman and elder of the Oglala Lakota Nation. Together, they have carried on a global campaign challenging imperial Vatican documents from the 15th century. Those documents resulted in the decimation of original nations and peoples of Mother Earth, and thereby deprived the planet of lifeways, sustainable ecosystems, and sacred teachings. Now, this is why this work is so important, because it has affected so many levels there. Ecosystems, teachings, the planet, lifeways, the traditions of thousands of nations. There were 6,000 nations before Columbus's arrival. His book, Pagans in the Promised Land, Decoding the Doctrine of Christian Discovery, 2008 book, relies upon recent findings in cognitive theory and a semantic analysis of the Latin and English versions of 15th century documents. Newcomb has identified the little-noticed patterns found in those documents and a U.S. Supreme Court ruling which claimed a right of a, quote, Christian prince or people, unquote, to discover and exert a right of domination, dominorum Christianorum, over the lands of, quote, heathens and infidels, end quote. The result of Christendom's legacy of domination and dehumanization has resulted in the near destruction of thousands of years of spiritual and ecological wisdom developed by our original nations. The remaining understandings of the need for reverence, honor, and respect are vital for the healing of humans and Mother Earth at this time. So that's what much of his work refers to, is that legacy of Christendom, D-O-M, meaning domination. So it's not too, my two cents is that's not too, it's not meant to offend people's own personal relationship with whatever kind of Christ consciousness they have. I have a positive sense of what I call a Christ consciousness, but that has nothing to do with the Christendom and the domination system that Newcomb's work speaks of. And one of the reasons, as I mentioned, he makes me think, he has majored in rhetoric and communication at the University of Oregon. I consider this episode significant in a way because in my bio for many years, I have that he travels a holistic, mystic, Kabbalah-rooted pathway, staying in touch with Turtle Island and the cycles of the seasons. So part of the reason I put that bit about Turtle Island in is, and that is the, what would be the English translation of what most natives call the continent of North America, as Turtle Island. And there's a whole origin story, so-called mythology behind that. But so I consider a lot of my work, the gist of a lot of my work is at that kind of hinge point of people that are unaware of this, or people that have been brought up with the Western education and settler consciousness. And then there's the native perspective And why I say in touch with Turtle Island is that I mean that literally, because it helps me to remember what every single person does every single day. If you're living in North America, that you are literally touching the lands of the original peoples whose land has been, quote, stolen. So that's part of why I took that on as a kind of a gist of what I try to do, is to raise awareness about that and shift the consciousness, shift the respect, because it's gotten into disrespect. But that, you know, everywhere you go, everywhere you step, even though, you know, some towns have signs like on Long Island, many people know, oh, there's native names of towns and roads, but not as often do they realize that there may actually still be native people living there, or that they're as Steve's website is called, Original Free Nations, that their original free existence has been tampered with, to put it lightly. So that's some of where this episode is coming from. And one of the things, again, that Steve does that makes me think a lot. So things that we just go past every day, you know, you can say, well, the native lands have been stolen, or we live on stolen land. And it's true in a sense, but what sense? As Steve has pointed out, the land didn't go anywhere. The land, I mean, it's funny, but it's true. It gets at a deep truth. The land has not gone anywhere. So it's not the land that has been stolen. It is the consciousness about the land. And what that settler colonial consciousness is a possessiveness. And it's rooted in property law. Not the natural law, but the property law. And that property law is based on domination. That's why I updated my, when I used to say the system, now I say the system of domination, because that's a feature of Steve's research and writings and film for what he's been doing for 40 plus years. So the quote, stolen land, is based on the property law. So it's really the quote, giving back of the land, is really undoing the trickery that the property law has superimposed on the land and then our consciousness, so that, you know, the average American goes about their day to day paying their bills and paying their property taxes or whatever, and glad to get home and have a drink and watch some TV or whatever. But how many realize that so-called freedom is based on a trickery and a twisting of the land via the property law, which is written, and it's in the books, and it plays out in the court cases and such like. So the consciousness shifts in the Kabbalah. There's a mention of there's no such thing as evil, but rather imbalance. So in one sense, from a Kabbalistic perspective, the settlers and the colonialists have lost their heart center, because the heart is not a greedy organ. The heart is not a greedy organ. So there was a shift of consciousness and the energies that then began to look at the environs and the land as something to be overtaken and something to get profit out of. And so that created an insanity that's a heart, you know, I could say literally from a Kabbalistic perspective, that is heartless. And, you know, from a mental perspective, it's insane. The level of destruction, the polluting of rivers, the cutting down of the forests, all these kinds of environmental problems are due to the, in large degree, to the settler colonial mentality. So again, Steve's work and his website, Original Free Nations, gives us a reference point for which to, for one, a native perspective, and also that gets into, as it plays out in various scenarios, whether it's legal or, you know, with taxes and this and that, because a lot of times the native peoples do not, what would be considered like getting rights, you know, rights to free speech within the U.S. system, is to ignore the fact that the original free nations were originally free nations. They did not need a right to free speech. They just spoke freely. So that's why for years I've heard that phrase, and I find it an essential reference point to realize that the original free nations, originally free, is just what it says. But it's, if you think about it, it's rather deep. And on the website, originalfreenations.com, it says, Original Nations Advocates is dedicated to supporting indigenous nations and peoples to protect their sacred ancestral homelands, to restore and revitalize their linguistic, cultural, and spiritual traditions, and to heal from the trauma of colonization and the patterns of domination. So right there is the gist of Steve's work and those that work with him and what he does with the website. Now, I had this, what prompted this episode is just in the recent week, I had this like aha moment where I started thinking about, okay, the natives have this reference point as original free nations. Then what's the Americans' reference point? So that would be the Declaration of Independence. That is what Americans take pride in. That is what Americans celebrate every year. That is what Americans cite, the written text of it. So that's, to me now, I see clearly that is the main snag in people's consciousness, because I have dealt with this recently with people that I've mentioned various things along these lines about, you know, whether about this country and based on, you know, the taking or the misappropriation of the natives' land and black slavery dragged over on boats and all kinds of horrors and atrocities that everybody knows about. And yet there's still that, but America is independent and we're free and it's better than some other countries. So, you know, you got to love it. And I presented info to people who just refuse to even, you know, give it an inch. So I find this a very essential hinge point, and that the key to this to me is that both the original free nations and Declaration of Independence, both are about being free. Because that, I mean, that's the essence of any life, of slavery or being free. That's like square one. But the latter, the Declaration of Independence freedom, is distorted, and it's actually based on a system of domination, and it's not original. So it's a stubborn hook, because it gives the settlers, it gives reason, and this is where I think one of the key points is, it gives settlers a reason for not embracing the original free nations and the native peoples. I don't know why, but I would say it's at some level it becomes it turns into a competition. So, you know, the Americans settlers are going to be like, well, this is our independence and our freedom. So there's the native people saying, well, we have original free nation that dates back thousands and thousands and thousands. I've heard from anywhere from 5 to 20 to 100,000 years with this land, and that is what I see in my experience is, and of talking to people and reading and watching people talk, that people that are hooked on the American independence, it's a snag, because they don't want to look past that, because then their independence is in jeopardy and in question. Now, can all the land be given back today? I don't know if that's physically possible or how that would work. That's beyond me to figure all that out. But just the idea is that, and I've seen that at a talks where, people were at, native friends were speaking and people in the audience were like, well, how can we help? Can we give you money? Can we do that? And one of the simple answers a friend said was, yeah, just give us the land. But then if they give the land, the people in their nice homes, This was actually at a conference out in the Hamptons. Would they want to help, but would they be willing to literally give their house away and back to the native peoples so they can have their original free nation land? Because that is the essence of that's the essence of what's underneath all the talk and all the, you know, people trying to help. But when you get down to the root of it, that's where some of the change happens. So I think, you know, think twice when you offer to help. Think how much you really want to help and what you'd be willing to help. The other thing I want to say about independence and the Declaration of Independence, in my experience, in my opinion, the word independence is an illusion. Because truly, we live with interdependence. And that also is a native way of understanding and being, as natives say often, all my relations are all our relations. Everything is related and interconnected. So their independence is an illusion. Independence is an illusion. The only kind of reference I could think of is like, okay, if someone is a slave, then independence, you know, then independence is something to want or attain or to get. And I think that's some of the hook, because it was under King George that sometimes there were slave-like conditions. So under King George, that became the thing, to have independence. Yet the irony, the sad irony, is it ended up using slaves. And also the getting independent is a temporary thing. So once you gain independence, in that moment, you have to be interdependent. You have to be interdependent. So that's why I say again, this whole thing about that the Americans continue to like not just celebrate, even more than celebrate, but like glorify independence, I think it stays stuck in that moment of so-called independence rather than looking for how to be interdependent. And interdependent naturally implies getting along with the native nations, the original free nations. So it circles back. And another point, something that is very often overlooked, but is I've heard it more and more of recent years, in the actual Declaration of Independence, as I look at my Dover Thrift Edition copy. So part of the Declaration of Independence, it says, he, meaning the king, that was King George, he has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages. So there's the whole deal right there, the whole Steve's work with the doctrine of Christian discovery and domination is the claiming of the lands. So there, that claiming of our frontiers is just, it's blatantly twisted. And I mean, I could do a whole show on this one phrase here. The merciless Indian savages is far from the truth as can be. And then whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. It's just ludicrous misrepresentation of the original free nation. So that is in the so-called, or in the Declaration of Independence. That is what people glorify. So that is what I have to object to and see as this, again, this major hinge point in unraveling hundreds of years of troubles and the system of domination. So I also want to give a promo for Steve's new Substack page, The Domination Chronicles, Observations About Life on Mother Earth and the Domination System. You can check that out and also take a look at originalfreenations.com and Steve Newcomb's book. Excellent book. I've read it twice. Pagans in the Promised Land, Decoding the Doctrine of Christian Discovery. And the documentary film directed and produced by Sheldon Wolfchild, who is Dakota, co-produced by Newcomb, The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code. And also at YouTube, you can, if you look there, you can find some of his talks. So I encourage you to check out his work and to that's part of why I wanted to do the show, and also to encourage people to in whatever way to realize and to show respect in various ways, to try to learn more about the native nations in your area, what lands you're actually on, what lands you're at, and learn the small picture and the big picture, because that's one of the things of Steve Newcomb's research with the doctrine and the papal bulls that go back to the 1450s and early 1500s, is that they affect everywhere. They affect all of Turtle Island and all the property, as far as I know, all the property laws and the whole legal system is caught up with all that. So that's why I wanted to title this in a little bit provocative, but to convey that the original Free Nations versus the Declaration of Independence, I didn't want to set it up as a confrontation, like some wrestling match, rather as to provoke people to be aware that is how I kind of see the battle going on, and that's where the consciousness shift can start, with realizing that those two different outlooks are a main gist of the problems, and that by somehow shifting the perspectives can help shift not only to help the native nations and people, but that helps the settlers as well, because we're in this era where we need to get along, and when that comes to taking care of the land and the water and the local environments, if you look at activist movements and protests and what's going on, as happened on Standing Rock, it's people of all different nations, settlers, allies, natives, working together to counteract and heal from that system of domination that has just been, you know, has wrought all kinds of literal destruction and, you know, scar, mental, physical, and emotional scars that we're all healing from at some degree. We've all been affected by that. I don't think you can't get around it. And the subtitle to this episode comes from Steve's website, where he explains more about the view from the shore, because that is much of history, is the view from the ships coming over to Turtle Island, whereas from the original Free Nations perspective, it's about the view from the shore. So if you put yourself in those shoes, so to speak, you will see virtually all of history from a different perspective, and you will feel things differently as well. Thanks again to Stephen T. Newcomb for all the good work, and like I said, he really makes me think about stuff and to look at the wording and rephrasing and things that we just take for granted every day, that really it's based on, you know, a lot of stuff is just based on a choice of consciousness that is really like we're walking around living in these kind of illusory worlds. And if enough people were just to say, hey, that's based on a falsity or an illusion or an illegal law, then, you know, things could actually change quite quickly. So that's the optimism and promise that I find in this kind of approach. And thank you for listening. There's a lot more I could say or could go off on different tangents, but we'll leave it at that for now. So thanks for listening, and be well.